Philippians chapter number 4. And I also want to mention those working on the nets, hanging the nets from the ceiling. If some of you can just start unwinding and unraveling the nets, I'll send Joshua home to get our ladder ladders. And, of course, there's probably a ladder or two here on the property. And while he's getting that, you can get that unraveled, and we'll get that put up together. Philippians. Let me get my headset on. One left if somebody wants one of these prayer lists that I just handed out to everybody. Anybody wants one? I got one left. Anybody need one? Okay. All right, we'll go over that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to look at Philippians chapter 4 tonight first. It says in Philippians 4 verse number 1, "Therefore, my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and I beseech Syntyche that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, and help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Let's pray, and we'll look at this tonight. Lord, we thank you for our time together in the Word, and we thank you for just the opportunity to be thankful and to say thank you, and to be blessed and to have you as our God. We thank you for our blessings. Help us to be thankful and rejoicing people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Before we split up to pray together tonight, we're going to sing Rejoice in the Lord, written by Ron Hamilton, who found out he had cancer in his eye and used it to write a song to give God glory. You know, there's lots of reasons we can rejoice in the Lord. Just in the last week, if you remember, it was a week ago, we had 15 inches of snow on the ground. I wasn't sure we were going to have church. I wasn't sure we were going to have Anchor Club Awards because the power wasn't on. And I figured we could probably do it without the lights, but it was going to be, and I wasn't sure who was all going to come. I just wasn't sure what was going to happen. But God still allowed us to have church last week, and we even had a good group of parents that came and relatives that came, and it was encouraging. Then on Friday, God gave us the one and only sunny day of the week and time to go to Bear Country and travel safely with all the kids that we took with. And we were safe, had a good time together, and it was a blessing. And then, Miss Wilma, personal thanks, praise, and hallelujah, she is just amazed at what God did on Sunday for her, especially for her. You know what I'm talking about? She prepared a big picnic, and she was so, in fact, she was tempted to be angry with me because there wasn't any gravel on the road, but God dried up the road so that all of you could drive up to our house, and we didn't have any mud in the place, and no mud got in the house. It was a blessing. No rain. Jeff got rain. We didn't. We live better than he does, that's all. But no rain at our house on Sunday. It was a blessing. And then our family traveled all the way to Denver, went to a baseball game and said goodbye to Caleb and drove all the way back, and God even gave us sunshine for that. We were just talking as a family how blessed we have been, just thankful, praising God. And you know what? Even if there had been rain, it still would have been all right. You know, it would have been fine. But God is good. He's good all the time. And we need to stop and give praise and thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, yesterday our road was a muddy mess. You know? It's already dry again. But it was just amazing how God allowed those things to happen. And we praise him and give him thanks for it. Now, more seriously, though, verse 20 of chapter 3, go back up to verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Our life is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our future, our reservation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back to take us there to be with him. Heaven is your home. If you're saved, you can rejoice in the Lord because heaven is your home. Don't forget about that. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Some in here are getting a new knee pretty soon, getting a rewiring of their heart pretty soon. But you know what? Delmer's had two different knees replaced, and now his back's hurting. Shoulders are hurting. But one day, okay, shoulders got replaced, and yeah, now he's got to get the back replaced. And you know what? We have a vile body. It's just getting old. Can't help it. But you know what? Good news. Whether you ever get a transplant or not, whether you need one or not, you're going to get a whole new glorified body, reupholstered and everything. Like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Praise God, this is not our final body. We were talking on Sunday at the picnic. Somebody was saying that they knew someone who has a pill they must take because of this certain diabetes or certain whatever issue they're dealing with. And this pill is $6,000 a month. $6,000 a month. Now, the good news is they have insurance, so it's only $500 a month out of their own pocket. That's $6,000 a year. Listen, I told my wife yesterday, we were talking about that, and I said, listen, when I get to that point, just shove me over. Just push me to, give me a cashew cocktail and call it good, all right? It's not worth it. Listen, the reason why people are spending $6,000 a month is because they are desperate to stay in this body because it's the only one they think they got. You know what I'm saying? If you're a Christian, you get a better one, all right? You're going to get a new body someday. You don't have to be desperate like that, like the people in this world are. Look down here in verse 3. It says at the end of verse 3, with my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. We can rejoice that our names are in the book of life, recorded permanently in the Lamb's book of life, saved, on our way to heaven, guaranteed to get a new glorified body without any imperfections. And so there is never a reason that we cannot rejoice in the Lord. It says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord when it's sunshine. Is that what it says? No, rejoice in the Lord always. And let me say this, if you can't always, then it shows your dependence on your circumstances. If it's only rejoicing time for you when it's sunshine, you are a circumstantial person rather than rising above that materialism and that worldly thinking. Because guess what? The world's the same way. The world gets happy when it's nice out and the world gets sad when it's not nice out. But we need to learn to rejoice in the Lord always. I was reading, and I know this isn't typical for our Old Testament study, and we'll get back to that on Wednesday nights, but I was reading in my reading in 2 Samuel chapter 15 this week. It's to the part, if you're reading the same stuff I'm reading, then it's to the part where Absalom tries to take over David's kingdom, and it's so sad. I mean, of course, it all starts with David and his sin. And his adultery and murder, and how that, if you'll notice, if you pay attention to what David said there when Nathan told him the story about the four lambs, how that the poor man had one lamb and the rich man had all these lambs, and the rich man went and stole the poor man's lamb and cooked it and ate it. And David was so angry and he said, that man should die. He was so angry at the rich man for stealing that lamb. That man should be killed for his crime and he should restore fourfold. You know something? David lived that fourfold. The baby died. Amnon got killed by Absalom. Absalom got hung up by his hair. Tamar got violated. He had four children that paid for that. And not only that, but his whole kingdom, his whole nation was just in an upheaval. Now, you know what? In the middle of all that, and I mean, we see David's sin and we see the results of it and what happened. But in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 32, there's an amazing thing. David is actually walking out of Jerusalem. He's going up the Mount of Olives. He's going up the Mount of Olives. And I want to just turn there for a minute. We'll go back to Philippians. But 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31, it says, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, Oh, Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Now, the Bible says Ahithophel was so respected that when he spoke, it was like God. And so he saw, even Ahithophel decided that he was going to stick with Absalom and be Absalom's advisor instead of David's advisor. And that worried David because he knew what kind of wise man Ahithophel was. Then verse 32, "And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount," that's the Mount of Olives, "where he worshiped God." Now you think about this. David is being chased out of the palace, out of the kingdom, by his own son and the rebellion, and he gets to the top of the Mount of Olives, and I think probably he turned around and looked back towards the tabernacle. Temple wasn't built yet. Back towards the tabernacle area, maybe where the ark would be, and he worshiped God. How many of you have stopped to worship God in the middle of your being chased and pursued by problems and heartache? He stopped and worshiped in the middle of all the heartache. And right when he's worshiping, God sent him a good friend in Hushai. And God started to do things as he stopped and worshiped God right there in that place. You know what? In the middle of your mess, stop and worship God. That's a huge testimony. When in the middle of your stress, stop and worship God. Praise God. Give him thanks. Stop and sing praises to him. Talk to him about how good he's already been to you, how you don't deserve any one more good thing because he's already overloaded. He's already overpaid anything. I mean, there's nothing we deserve. By the way, you know what? That very story is a picture, an Old Testament picture of something happened in the New Testament. You know why? Somebody else stopped at the Mount of Olives and prayed while he was being chased, while he was about to get nailed to a cross. It's a picture of Jesus praying there at the Mount of Olives. You know, the Bible back in Philippians chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." He didn't just say it, but he did it. In Philippians 1, verse 4, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." I hope when you pray, you also give thanks and do it with joy. Verse 18 of chapter 1, "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." He's saying there's people that are fake and they're phony in what they even do as a Christian, but you know what? If Christ is glorified, we can still give praise. Verse 25, "that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ." Again, talking about rejoicing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, "who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Again, joy. Verse 16, "holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ." That means the rapture, the return of Christ. "That I may rejoice in the day of Christ when he comes back." That you're still holding to the gospel. Can you imagine this missionary in Mongolia that now is coming back to America? And one day Jesus comes, and he might never go back to Mongolia in this life. But can you imagine on the day of Christ, the missionary who spent 18 years over there meeting up with the Mongolians? Woo! And so that's exactly what he's saying to those Mongolian Christians. Just keep hanging on to the Bible, and we'll see each other again. I posted it just yesterday because I love the story, but there's a missionary named Leslie. His last name is Leslie. He went to South American part of the world, and he labored in the late 1800s, and he thought he was a complete failure. He spent years and never saw anything good happen. In fact, he had an argument with some of the local village leaders, and he decided to leave and come back to America. What they discovered almost a century later is that there's thousands of Christians in that area now. And they traced it all back to missionary Leslie and what he did in those villages years ago. He didn't know, but they kept on doing what he taught them to do. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We can be happy and rejoice because we have Jesus. Verse 1 of chapter 4, we already read it. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. He's writing to them and he's saying, you are my joy and my crown. One day, you Philippian Christians will be in heaven and I had a part in it. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. So we see all the times that Paul was rejoicing and giving thanks and praising God and just excited about what was going on. Notice also it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's coming soon. Do you know he's coming soon? I don't know what's going on with the world right now. I know Satan is moving. I know spiritual battles are taking place. Sure, there's political battles. Yeah, I know there's political battles, but it's more than that. It's bigger than that. And there's spiritual wickedness in high places, but there's also spiritual righteousness in high places, and there's battles going on. I don't even know what's going on with all the weird weather that the country's been having, but there's weird weather going on. I'll just tell you right now, I'm thankful I live where I live. I drove through Hill City yesterday. It's kind of scary through over there. I've seen pictures of Presho. I think Mike showed pictures of Presho, South Dakota. And Nebraska, and Iowa, and Missouri. My in-laws, the river by their farm is getting closer to their front door. I mean, it's really sad. And you think about, I saw a chart of all the acres and acres and acres of farmland that's not being farmed right now. Big deal. Listen, I don't know who's doing that. I don't know if God's allowing it because of anger with our nation and whatnot. I don't know. I don't know if there's some sinister conspiracy stuff with weather, because I know that stuff does happen. It really does exist. Either way, God's allowing it. But you know what? We can give thanks to God. We can rejoice in the Lord. And we might not like what we see, but we can be thankful. I'm just thankful that I'm safe. I'm thankful that my family is safe, that my children are safe and traveled safely last night. And even if one of them had passed away in an accident, I can rejoice in this. Their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to see them again. There's not one immediate family member that I have that I won't see again later sometime because of salvation. So it doesn't ultimately matter. The Lord is at hand. And how many of you think the Lord is coming back fairly soon based on what we see in our world? A lot sooner than it was 1,000 years ago, I guarantee you that. Rejoice in the Lord. And so in verse 6 it says, be careful or full of care for nothing. Don't be all care and worryful for anything. Be full of care for nothing. The signs of the time should encourage us, not discourage us. You know what might happen? You know what might just happen if it really gets lousy and bad? People might actually start wanting to look to what God's word says. People might want to have a conversation with you about the Bible. I don't know why, but this one particular lady, about 3 or 4 years ago, I went with, I think it was Hannah and Laura. We went up there, and she just was like, and I was like, sorry, ma'am, I'm just inviting your kids to VBS. Yesterday, what time is VBS? Can I know more about it? Same lady, same person. Praise the Lord. You know, people's hearts can change, and sometimes it takes tragedy for it to happen. Sometimes it takes some scary things for people to get their eyes on God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Psalm 55:22 tells us to roll our burdens on to him. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke on you. It's easy, my burden is light." And so we can trust in him and we can be filled with care for nothing. We can learn to let it all be on him and not on ourselves. If we are right with him, we can trust him to take care of it and to be aware of what's going on with us. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And as you're going to 1 Thessalonians 5, let me just read from 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We're going to hand out a special prayer sheet here in a little bit. Because back there in Philippians 4, it says, "Be careful for nothing." But the next line is, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication." So be careful for nothing and pray about everything. A couple Sunday nights ago, I was talking about, in all thy ways acknowledge him. I decided to put my truck up for sale. I don't know if it'll sell or not. But if it does, praise the Lord. But you know what? If I pray about it first, it's just what we're supposed to do. Pray about everything we do. Pray about decisions you're going to make. Pray. I'm not saying you got to pray about whether you should have Cheerios or Wheaties for breakfast, but we should be praying about everything. And it's certainly okay to pray over Cheerios or Wheaties. We should pray about a trip we're going to take. We should pray about a move we're going to make. We should pray about a decision we're going to do. We should pray about a person we're going to talk to, or a job we're going to take. Pray about everything we do. We should pray about everything and be careful for nothing. Appreciate Brother Bill. Was a few weeks ago. He just had his truck worked on. He drove from Ohio to here, and they said it all the everything's fixed, everything's put back together. He started it up, and it dumped about a quart of oil right on the ground. He said, "Oh, that's a shame," but he didn't get mad. He didn't get angry. Just going to pray about it. I'm praying, trust the Lord. He'll give me the answer. He'll show me what to do. You know, we just have to learn to pray. Again, I want to pick on the world a little bit. People aren't praying anymore. You know what we're doing? We're Googling everything. The answer is in my pocket. This is the answer. Listen, I'm glad for technology, and I'm glad we got some ways to find answers. But you know what? Sometimes we are so independent of God that we don't pray. Pray about everything. Pray about decisions. Wilma and I were talking about the weather. And she was saying, "It's just so weird how last week it just snows and does weird stuff, and then all of a sudden, boom, it stops." And she said, back in the old days of Laura Ingalls Wilder, they didn't have Google. They didn't have a weather report. You know, it's just storm, 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 and it was nice. And you know what they did 100 years ago in this country, 150 years ago? You know what they did? They prayed. We don't pray. We use our brain and we make decisions on our wisdom rather than letting God lead. David is being chased. He's being hounded. He stops at the top of the mountain and he worships God. Pray about everything. Give thanks for everything. Pray about everything. And so I asked you to go to Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean you have to always be on your knees with your eyes closed, because prayer isn't really about being on your knees with your eyes closed. Prayer is just about communicating with God. You think you got Bluetooth? God's got even better access than that. You can just talk to God without even having a device in your pocket or a watch on your wrist. You can just pray to him all the time. You can just talk to him every moment of every day. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray about it. Ask God to give direction. And then be thankful for anything. Back there in Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. I'm thankful. Can we not be thankful for the fact that it probably isn't going to probably isn't going to burn any trees, and there won't be any forest fire here for a little while? I'm just guessing. at least a week. Can we be thankful that we don't have flooding? Can we be thankful that according to the weather report, it looks like sunshine for Vacation Bible School versus snow? Can we be thankful for just all the things? Can we be thankful for all those things that last week were really bothering us and this week are kind of beyond and past? You know, the Bible says, and I know you know this, but it says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We need to be careful for nothing. We need to pray about everything, and we need to be thankful for anything, no matter what happens. It was in Miss Wilma's eyes with moisture, but it was in my heart. For the first time we've ever said goodbye to Caleb, who's going to be on his own by himself without anyone to monitor. But we learn to be thankful and trust God, knowing that whatever happens, we trust him. We can give thanks. I'm thankful that even though we read that a missionary has to come home from Mongolia, I still think God's in it. I know of some missionaries who probably should have left a long time ago and let those people just be independent. And God's just kind of making that happen in Mongolia. That's fine. We can be thankful for that. And aren't you thankful that we've been supporting a guy who has enough integrity to say, my family's too important. I got to get out of here. I got to take care of my family. And we're not talking about some deep, sinister, you know, scandal. We're just talking about my family. I got to take care. That's integrity. Listen, we can be thankful and praise God always. You know what we also can be thankful for? The prayers that are denied. The word no is still an answer. It's an answer to prayer. The answer is no. Well, praise the Lord for an answer to prayer. Be thankful for anything. Here's a recipe for Thanksgiving. A recipe for Thanksgiving, number one, is faith. Faith. John 3:16, God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith. And then gratitude. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translates into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. After faith is that gratitude, just to be thankful that we have this forgiveness and salvation that we don't deserve. And then after that is contentment. Contentment. Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, but for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, whether it's South Dakota or Wyoming, no, whatsoever condition I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You have faith, then gratitude, and then contentment. You're just thankful for what God has done. Yesterday I was in Hobby Lobby, and I can't quote it word for word, and I didn't take a picture of it, but there was a little sign there that said, thankfulness causes you, see if I can say this right, thankfulness for what you have makes you realize it's enough. When you're thankful for what you have, you realize you have more. You have more than you thought you had. You realize you've already been blessed. We're not thankful typically. And our world tells us that we don't have something we gotta have. I wish I had pictured it, photographed it, so I could read it to you. But being thankful for what you already have. I posted my for sale advertisement for my truck, and I said this: if I don't sell it, I'm okay with it, because I like it. I really do. I like it. I know it's a good truck. Being thankful. Listen, Paul said, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. I want to stop here and say something to parents. It's real important that you don't let your kids get to the mode where they think it's always got to feel good. It doesn't always have to feel good. It always has to be comfortable. It doesn't always have to be comfortable. Paul said, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. I can be full, I can be hungry. In whatever state I am, I can be content. It is important that we learn contentment is God, and it's spiritual, it's not physical. Young lady, do yourself a favor and be someone that can be content no matter what. Young man, do yourself a favor and make sure you don't marry someone that has to always have it a certain way, because you'll be forever trying to make it contentful and comfortable. But Paul said, I can be abased, I can abound, it's okay. God's good. Faith is the number one ingredient. Gratitude, contentment, and then trust. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do next year, even next week. I don't know exactly what my kids are supposed to be next year or 10 years from now, but I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways and trust him to direct our paths. And then back in Philippians 4, it says this, when you do all this, when you rejoice in the Lord, when you remember he's coming again, and you're thankful, and you're praying, and you're not full of care, then it says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Oh my, that is so much better than any weather. That is so much better than any condition that you can find yourself in. The peace of God that passes all understanding. So much better than a drug. So much better than anything external or internal. The peace of God. Verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This type of peace passes all understanding, and it will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It'll keep you in perfect peace. I appreciate my father's testimony even at this point. I'm glad he's not like shriveling up or hiding. I'm glad he's just dealing with what he's dealing with and moving forward. And I appreciate that. And know what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I was reading about a preacher a long time ago. He had this verse memorized, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. And he would quote it over and over again. Well, he was getting older and he was losing his memory. That I may know him. And he couldn't quite quote. Got to the point where he could only say one word. Him. 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 Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You might lose all everything else. This preacher that wrote that book about Alzheimer's, he said, you know, I found myself remembering the old hymns. I found myself remembering the old King James that I had memorized as a kid. I couldn't remember other things, but I could, him, keep your mind focused on him. No matter what, we can rejoice in the Lord. No matter what, we can give thanks to God. When you're thankful, what you already have is really enough. We can learn to be content with what God's already done for us and given us. Let me go through this with you real quick.